AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, where in a sudden and quick outbreak of bipartisanship, both houses of Congress have somewhat surprisingly voted to avoid one of those government shutdown showdowns. Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper reports.
In the U.S. Senate,
on this vote, the yeas are 87, the nays are 11. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
Averting a government shutdown this week, but pushing budget negotiations into early next year. Democratic Senator Patty Murray.
Avoiding a shutdown is so very far from mission accomplished. We have a lot of work to do after the dust settles and before the next shutdown deadline comes up.
The spending package splits the deadlines for passing full-year appropriations bills into two dates, January 19th for some federal agencies and February 2nd for others.
President Biden announces a resumption of direct U.S.-Chinese military communications and following hours of talks with Chinese leader Xi Jinping near San Francisco. Mr. Biden also says
the United States will continue to compete vigorously with the PRC. But we'll manage that competition responsibly so it doesn't veer into conflict or accidental conflict. And where it's possible, where our interests are coincide, we're going to work together like we did on fentanyl. That's what the world expects of us.
Turning to the war in the Middle East, Israeli troops have gone into that hospital in Gaza, continuing to claim it houses Hamas fighters, but offering no proof, and with very different accounts of what is still going on there. Our correspondent Deborah Pata is trying to sort it out in East Jerusalem.
Inside the besieged hospital, civilians seeking refuge and critically ill patients, their presence fueling international calls for a ceasefire. A place of healing turned into a battle zone.
And in Washington, Wednesday night, protesters calling for a ceasefire in that Israel-Hamas war were confronted by police near Democratic Party headquarters. All did not go smoothly.
They say about 150 protesters in all were illegally and violently protesting near the DNC headquarters building. Now, the protesters included people were told from If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, who say the protests were peaceful. Police say six officers were treated for injuries. Some were pepper sprayed or punched.
That's WTOP. Dean Lane. On the Health Watch, it is time to put down the cigarettes for Thursday's Great American Smokeout. Tobacco expert Thomas Ilioya says it's never too late.
As soon as you quit smoking, within minutes, you start to see the health benefits in terms of your circulation and your heart rate.
The American Cancer Society holds this smokeout every year on the third Thursday of November. Asian and Pacific markets are a bit lower. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 35. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 64. 30 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
Oh, it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this beautiful, beautiful November Wednesday, November 15th.
52 degrees out.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you have a chance, again, and I know I say this all the time, but go outside, go for a walk, get some fresh air, enjoy it. This isn't going to, I don't know, I don't think this is going to last too much longer. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach is with me in studio, and you can always chime in. We love to hear from you. You can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or if you're watching on the live stream on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, you can also leave a comment there as well. We have a really, really busy show coming up today. Kristen's going to be joining us at 10:33 from home. We are going to do a round of the good, the bad, and shouldn't there be a window here? And then in hour number two, our own Anastasia Esther, who is a producer here at Civic Media, she was in Washington yesterday for the March for Israel. She will be joining us for an update on that event. And 11:33, a little bit lighter, Paul Trebian from the Holiday Folk Fair, which is happening this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park, will be joining us. So I hope you can stick around for that. Also, if you don't, because like you have a life and you have things you have to do, you can always listen to the podcasts. You can download the app. You can take us wherever you go, and it's free.
Yeah, and great thing about the app, you can make phone calls and send text messages to shows through the app.
And to all the shows.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It really is. All right, we got some deals. We got some deals. Amazingly, every Wisconsin House member yesterday helped push through legislation to temporarily extend federal funding and avoid a government shutdown. The two-step plan from GOP Speaker Mike Johnson will fund some federal agencies at the current levels until the middle of January and others into February. It passed the House on a vote of 336 to 95 after 209 Democrats gave it the support it needed to pass. Wisconsin Representatives Tom Tiffany and Mike Gallagher among the 93 Republicans who voted against it. Because, again, the government would have shut down at midnight on Friday night if this deal had not been reached. And new Speaker Mike Johnson now might be in a little bit of hot water with, I don't know, some refer to them as the Crazy Eight. Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all the far right caucus. And now they're saying, well, we're watching him. We're watching him because they didn't want this deal to get done.
Of course they didn't. I mean, yeah. If it wasn't for the whole thing, if it wasn't for the fact that Mike Johnson is now the Speaker of the House, I would say, who cares? But now we know those eight can just throw nothing but spanners in the work and dirt into the microchips and watch it burn for burning's sake.
That's certainly what it seems like. I mean, ostensibly, their position is that the government is spending too much money, has always been spending too much money. We need to stop spending too much money, which I don't know that anyone would disagree with, but it's where do the cuts come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And give us a plan that's both fiscally sound and not just slashing and burning.
Yeah. The measure extends through the next fiscal year programs and provisions in the Farm Bill. We just talked to Pat Kreitlow about the importance of the Farm Bill to Wisconsin farmers. Mm-hmm. So those provisions will stay in place through next September, which is a good thing. But again, then next September, we're going to be back in the same place that we were.
Yeah.
Unless they reach some other deal before then. But again, at least the government's going to be staying open. Federal workers will get paid. Members of our military will get paid. And most importantly, members of Congress will keep getting paid. Oh, wait. They would have kept getting paid anyway. I forgot.
Yeah, they're handled. They're taken care of.
They're covered. Yeah. They're covered. Another deal, Brewers deal. Brewer Stadium deal agreed to yesterday. And there's some breaking news this morning about the Brewers, Greg Bach.
Yes, indeed. Coming off of MLB, my app here, it says that by Adam McKelvey, the Brewers promote Pat Murphy to manager. So the Brewers have a manager now. That is the longtime bench coach of former manager Craig Counsell. He has been promoted, so he will be taking the big job, wearing the big hat. And see, we're going. I mean, he knows the organization, which is good. And, you know, as so a bench coach is the right hand to the manager.
Okay.
So
he's been way in that involved in the organization
and making decisions and helping with all those things, helping with scouting and whatnot. And also another announcement too that is in this article is the fact that a former Milwaukee Brewers infielder Ricky Weeks will be returning to the team as an associate manager. And so he's back in Milwaukee, and
that's
he's
pretty
be helping
cool. I knew I recognized his name when I saw this story break.
Yeah, so some big news for the Brewers. The fingers are crossed. The heart is full of hope. We were talking to Joe Zepecki yesterday.
Yes,
Joe Zepecki, if you're listening to this, my heart is full of hope, and I'm here to. I'm excited. Pitchers and catchers report in February. I'm here for it.
Big Brewers fan Greg Bach, very happy on the news. Do you think that's a good move, putting Pat Murphy in that spot?
I think it's a smart move because, personally, I feel promoting from within, especially, you know, with Craig Counsell, they knew there was a chance he would leave. So I don't think the Brewers, it didn't seem like the Brewers were doing a lot of scouting on that end.
Right.
If they did, it didn't leak. But to promote from within, I think this is a good thing. I think you get a guy in there who's familiar with the team, with the decision-making and the managerial mind that is Craig Counsell, and he can take some of those and then put his own spin on it. And bringing someone in like Ricky Weeks, he's got in on the team as well. He's probably got buy-in. He wants to see this team succeed. I think these are good moves. Now, will it last more than a season or two? I don't know.
He's only signed a 3-year deal.
Yeah. And you know, we'll see. So like I said, fingers crossed, heart full of hope. Can't wait for opening day.
Choosing optimism.
Yes, it's way better.
Another deal involving the Brewers, of course. Governor Evers yesterday announcing he will sign 2 bills that spends about $500 million to fix AmFam Field and extend the Brewers' lease through 2050. States kicks in $365.8 million over 27 years. Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee, $135 million. And the Brewers, $150 million. I still think they should have kicked in more money. I do.
Yeah.
I just do.
I don't think they're... I don't totally disagree with that as well, but I also believe that we could have alleviated these problems with Governor Evers' original plan.
Which was pulling money from the surplus, right? Because we still have $7
billion. $292 million out of the $7 billion surplus, putting it in an account, as Evan Goyke talked to us about a month or two ago, letting that accrue interest and making those renovations over time, and then that money will grow at a fast pace, paying for it, and it's surplus money. It's not coming off the back of the taxpayers of any of the counties, specifically Milwaukee County.
Right.
But nope, we couldn't do that. So then the Republicans came in, and the lawmakers in Madison were like, how about $600 million? And Milwaukee, you'll be triple taxed. I mean, it just, to me, that's reckless spending, and it's antithetical to what they stand for as far as fiscal responsibility. I mean, I feel like I don't disagree with you. The Brewers should have paid more.
I think they just got a sweet deal.
But if they weren't going to, I think what Governor Evers proposed back, 3 months ago?
Yeah.
That was the best way to do it. And the only reason why it didn't go through, because it was Governor Evers' idea. And that's sad.
Oh, it's very sad.
Yeah.
And just indicative of, if I don't, I can't make you look good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything to make the other side look good, which both sides have to get over.
Yes.
Democrats and Republicans both.
Yes.
It can't be, I'm not going to sign on to this measure because that's going to give you a win.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that from either side. That's not what we need.
Nope, never. And when they do that kind of thing, it's us, the people who suffer.
Yep. There's no question about it. There is no question about it. I think also what probably helped push it over the finishing line was they capitulated, the Republicans capitulated to allow two representatives from Milwaukee, correct, to sit on this board that's going to oversee that. That took a lot of chutzpah, I thought, to say, yep, we're going to triple tax the residents of the city and the county of Milwaukee, but we're not going to allow you any direct involvement with this deal.
Is it really off-brand, though, for, like, the constant, you know, whether it's Milwaukee County, Racine County, any county that has a city that didn't vote for them, to not punish them in some way?
Shape or form?
Yeah. That's just the way they do it.
It's got to stop, my friends. It's got to stop. Mm-hmm. It's childish. And speaking of childish.
What?
In the next half hour, when Kristen joins us at 10:33, we're going to do the good, the bad, and shouldn't there be a window here? And there were some really childish things happening yesterday in our U.S. Congress.
Oh, my God. Amongst adults.
Yeah. Well, ostensibly, they're adults.
Now theoretically.
Theoretically, they're adults. I really question how they got elected. I thought we had gotten past the knuckle-dragging mouth breathers, but apparently physical fights now are the mature way to deal with things.
Yeah, we'll talk about more when we come back, but I think I watched those clips 15, 20 times just to like
try and wrap your head around that this is reality.
Yeah, that's where we live. And all of a sudden, just, you know what? That's just bully bro dudes, just bully bro doing how they do.
Well, I know there's some disappointment, and there are people who certainly think that we should not be shelling out this much money for an entertainment venue that a lot of people don't utilize, and others see the Brewers as a very important part of the state economy. So if you want to check in on the Brewers deal, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And then coming up, an update on the Bird of the Century contest that was going on in New Zealand. You may have heard us talking about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. And it's a wonderful, wonderful result. So stay with us. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right. The environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead. Ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-botted dad to eat more plants. For the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's a word. Oh, well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird is a word. Oh, well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a word.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matmere in for Kristen Rye. Greg Bach with me in studio. Nice job, Calvin, on the board with that bumper music. We're going to get to the results of the Bird of the Century contest that was held in New Zealand. The results were announced today. Right now, that we're taking your calls and your comments at 844-967-2789. about the stadium deal that was agreed to yesterday that is now moving on to Governor Evers' desks, and he says he will sign them. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. I have a feeling I know where you're going to come down on this.
Yeah, because I'll tell you something. We have, again, put sports and entertainment as a priority over our people. I mean, we have homeless children. We have homeless vets. We have a broken prison system. Our education system is going to hell in a handbasket. We have child care issues. We have children who don't have meals, and the Republicans want to take meals away. And when we have Medicare for all, then I say, okay, you know, we have affordable home issues. And we want to put all this money into a sports arena, a entertainment arena. That should be our last priority, not our first priority. It just maddens me.
It is an enormous amount of money, Cindy. There's no question about it. And when you list off all the things like that, because you're not wrong. You're not wrong about those issues needing attention and needing some funding. So I feel where you're coming from, but this just always feels like one of those inevitabilities that a sports team wants a new stadium or wants more money for upgrades, and eventually every community just capitulates.
Yeah, and I want better roads. I don't want PFAS in my water, but that doesn't matter.
Appreciate your call, Cindy. Thank you very much. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you want to check in. Our friend John from the Falls on the text line. Good morning, everybody. My heart was full of hope as well until I heard lawmakers are passing this Brewers deal. How is this a great deal for taxpayers when the team only pays $1.2 million a year in rent but gets $4 million a year for naming rights to a stadium they don't own and tens of millions of dollars in parking fees for parking lots they also don't own? If the stadium district had been getting this revenue the whole time, we could have made these upgrades with no cost to the taxpayers whatsoever. Taxpayers taking it in the shorts on this one.
I mean, that's kind of just how it is. I mean, who will stand up to one of these sports teams? Which city, which municipality, which state, what county will do that finally and say, no, and if you don't like it, goodbye. But the government says, see ya. I mean,
well, and when this whole discussion began, I think we talked too about who wants to be the elected official that loses the team?
I mean, that's the other thing, too. And,
right.
And also, you know, while I don't disagree with what Cindy is saying, you know, these things don't happen one at a time. There's definitely ability to take care of the roads. You talk about legislation. We're talking about legislation regarding child care, mortality, food, all those things. I don't think it's a lineup one at a time. We take care of this. We take care of that. You can take care of all those things. I do think it's not the most important thing. And as other, whether they're pundits, reporters were saying, this isn't something that has to happen right now. We had time, but of course they turned it into something and they had to fix it. And it wasn't a fiscally responsible fix. And at the end of the day, those kids are still going to go hungry and arts programs are still going to get cut and people are trying to ban books. So we do what we can. I don't know. It's
tough. It is. It's really, really difficult and disappointing. And it would be nice if we could see some action with that $7 billion that we're sitting on and use that money instead of just for tax cuts.
It's
because we have other pressing needs, as Cindy pointed out. All right, we're going to move on. Bird of the century, Greg Bach.
Me? I'm the bird of the
century? The campaign has ended.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry. I thought I was...
The campaign has ended, and we want to congratulate... I had to sound this out phonetically. We want to send congratulations to the Puteki Teki.
It's Puteki Teki.
Is it?
It's Puteki
Teki. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Puteki Teki is now the bird of the century in New Zealand, and we can largely thank comedian John Oliver for that.
For so many things.
Oh, for so very many things. He featured the bird on one of his Last Week Tonight's episode and encouraged people to vote for this particular bird because you could vote provided all you needed was a valid email address. You didn't have to live in New Zealand. You didn't have to be around. So Oliver and the show put up billboards called Lord of the Wings in the New Zealand capital of Wellington, Paris, Tokyo, London, Mumbai,
and
Manitowoc,
Wisconsin.
And Manitowoc, Wisconsin. The vote tally today, according to this organization that put on this contest, the group received more than 350,000 verified votes, more than six times the previous record of 56,700 votes set in 2021. And in fact, the response was so good, the campaign temporarily crashed the voting verification system.
Did you hear what he did on The Tonight Show?
Oh, he wore. Did he wear a bird costume?
He dressed up like a Pateki Teki. And when they asked him about all the signs, the way he just said, like, Paris, Mumbai, you know, Wellington, and Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Oh, like, we got to get that clip.
Yeah, I'll find that clip.
We have to get that clip. The contest for Bird of the Year, it's usually Bird of the Year, this was Bird of the Century, has had some controversies in the past. In 2020, election supervisors found 1,500 fraudulent votes for a spotted kiwi.
Stop the steal! Stop the steal!
And 2 years ago, the contest was won by a bat.
That's a bird?
That was allowed because it's considered part of the bird family by the indigenous Maori. They were really delighted with all the attention that this brought.
Yeah.
Even though it was America basically interfering with the election of another country.
I mean, prove it. I think this was, I'm just going to say this right now on the show. Mark it for whatever you want. I think this was Antifa. I think this was the corrupt FBI.
Well, informants within the FBI,
and
probably.
Miserable Joe Biden coming in trying to steal the freedoms of other people. The Pateki Teki is not. It's birds aren't even real, Jane.
Oh, that's right.
They're nothing but robots. Oh. They're just spying for the corrupt FBI and CIA.
Birds aren't real as a whole deep dive on the internet. If you have lots of hours to kill and you want to go down that path.
No, thank you.
Okay, stick around. Coming up next, Kristen Bry will be joining us from home. She's been home for is Frankie Lou 2 months old?
No, she's a month and a half.
We'll check in with a new mom and do a round of the good, the bad, and shouldn't there be a window here? And then coming up after 11 o'clock, Anastasia Esther is our colleague here at Civic Media. She's also a producer, and she was at the March for Israel yesterday in Washington. She will be joining us at 11:06. I hope you can stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's 4 a.m. Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay, smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 35. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 64. 30 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach with me in studio, Calvin on the board, and joining us on our stream yard, Frankie Free, is Mom Kristen Bry. Good morning, my friends. First day without the baby. How's it going?
It's weird.
I bet.
It's very weird.
Don't you feel like you misplaced her somewhere or something?
No, I know exactly where she is, but it's more weird of just having the brain capacity to not be trying to do two things at once. Because, you know, up until today, at any given moment when I have the moment to do anything except take care of her, knowing that that is a ticking time bomb until I have to go take care of her. And so the fact that I have until 4 p.m. today to actually power through a to-do list is wild. And as I pinged you guys right before I got on, I also, as I've been very honest on this show with my ADHD, today is the first day I took half an Adderall since February. So we'll see how that fares.
I think you're going to be bouncing off the walls by 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Potentially. We'll see if it was a good idea or a bad idea. But as far as actually being able to have time to focus, I was like, I wonder if this will help me or hurt me, but I'll let you know next week.
Well, because really when you're with the baby, it's every 2 to 3 hours that she need, you know, she either needs to be fed, right, or changed, or she's waking up from a nap, or so you can't really get too involved in anything before your attention, before you have to drop what you're doing.
Yes.
She just froze.
She just froze. Maybe the Adderall kicked in.
Yes, she is frozen.
Do you want to talk smack about Kristen right now? See if she can hear us?
I don't know if she can hear us or not. All I know is that she's frozen. Maybe she'll try and call in.
Okay.
I will send her a message.
I can't even imagine what it must be like that first time you're I don't want to say handing your baby over. That seems a little, but like you're
But that's got to be exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the baby went to they're sharing a nanny.
Yes.
And so Frankie Lou went to the nanny today for the first time, and it's just got to be so weird.
Almost as weird as seeing Kristen's frozen face on StreamYard.
She is still frozen. I think I'm going to there we go. Okay, we'll try this again. Just a reminder, coming up at 11:06, we're going to be joined by Anastasia Esther, who is not only our colleague and a producer here at As Goes Wisconsin, but she was also an attendee at yesterday's March for Washington. So she will be joining us at 11:06 to give us an update about that. I've read different crowd sizes, but it was certainly upwards of 100,000 people. It was huge. All right, she's back. You're back.
Don't know what that was, but you know, technology never is the most reliable. But anyways, yes. So Frankie is at, we're doing this once a week in the attempt to have a day off, to also practice what it's going to be like once we're back to work and what the routine's like and how much milk we have to prepare and things that have to get packed. And so, so far, so good. The nanny has not called me saying, I can't get this baby to stop crying. So,
well, that's good.
Win there.
Definitely a win there. Well, and I have a whole new appreciation. I stopped by to see you on Saturday, and I have a whole new appreciation for women who breastfeed and the amount of preparation and the amount of work it is, especially if you're going back to work or sending them off to daycare, right?
Yeah, the pumping, because truthfully, I would say my experience so far, I don't want to speak for anyone else, because breastfeeding came pretty naturally for us, mm-hmm. as far as like I was making enough milk, she was latching well, and that's not a given for everyone, right? Some people have a lot of issues.
Absolutely.
If you can be with your baby all the time, breastfeeding is, and all of those other things work. I find breastfeeding to be way simpler because when it comes to pumping, the amount of things you have to wash and sanitize, and you can't mix, you know, if things are refrigerated, you can't mix like just pumped milk with the refrigerated milk. You have to refrigerate the stuff that you just pumped before you can add it together. And then you're freezing things and you have to watch like how long things. So it's like, and then sometimes we mix in formula, but if it's formula, you can only keep that for 24 hours versus breast milk is 4 days. Like it's all of these different things beyond just like sticking a kid on your boob. but you can't, if we're going to work, obviously your kid needs to eat, but more importantly, you also need to be pumping all day to be able to make milk for that kid to eat the next day.
Sure.
And also so that you can keep your supply up. And there's just a lot more things that have to happen when you're pumping. And even if you're using formula, it's still the same. It's still the same sanitizing expiration date, like times and stuff like that, that you have to think about. That is a lot of work on top of, you know, what the most quote unquote natural is, just being able to be with your kid all the time, which is not feasible.
No.
For a lot of people.
For most people, actually. Well, you look great. The baby, when I saw her over the weekend, looks adorable. How old is she now?
She is 7 weeks tomorrow.
She's 7 weeks tomorrow.
And she's over 10 pounds. So,
Well,
she was itty bitty when she came out. She is gaining weight fast. And she's also, I don't know if I said this, did I tell everyone that she's in the 95th percentile for height?
Shocker.
I think, right.
Shocker. It's going to be like that.
She's got that bri length.
I'm telling you, she's going to, at 11, she's going to go from like, you know, a regular 11-year-old size to being 6 feet tall. It's going to be
shoot. She's going to go from point guard to center.
Yeah, exactly. In probably 3 days.
Yeah.
All right. Since you are here, we are going to have another round of the good, the bad, and this time it's shouldn't there be a window here? We will get to that at the end. Start off with the good, though. Assembly Bill 541. We just talked to Benjamin Garbedian about this. He is with the Institute for Reforming Government. He was here on Monday to talk about this. This essentially removes barriers to mental health care access by allowing out-of-state providers to practice in Wisconsin via telehealth technology. So they don't have to be licensed within the state, but they do have to be licensed in the state where they're practicing. Their license has to be in good standing, and they have to give the patient contact information for their credentialing in case there's ever a complaint. So this passed the assembly yesterday, which is good news. I think
that's great news.
It is good news. This is it's the year of mental health, right? And we talk about this so much, and that we don't have enough mental health resources. And so this is, and certainly lots of deserts, and you, if you live in rural parts of the state, it's really hard to set up to, an appointment with a provider.
Mm-hmm. But I also just think, you know, when we think about the different professions that you need to be licensed in yours, you need to be licensed, you know, so, and the difference, the only one to me, and someone can make the argument for a different one that makes sense of why you can, you need to be licensed in your state and you can't necessarily practice in other states, is law. Because the laws are actually different in each state, right? Like sure. If you're a divorce lawyer in Wisconsin, that's very different than what the divorce laws are in New York or any other state, right? And I don't, someone can tell me if there's something I'm not really like thinking about, but when it comes to medical practice or mental health, psychology, therapy practices, I don't feel like that changes state to state. Like there may be different
slightly
laws,
different, right?
Like as far as like maybe like must report type laws, as far as like things that get said in a therapy session, but for the most part, I don't know how much what you do with a patient or a client changes with mental health or medical practices in comparison to a legal and a lawyer, like what a lawyer would do. And so this makes a lot of sense to me, and it feels kind of archaic in that these laws of you have to be licensed in the state that you practice in is like before Zoom was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a voice vote, which is, it's unfortunate in a way because we have no way of knowing who voted against it because there were some votes against it. And I have heard rumblings that there were Democrats who voted against it, which would be disappointing. Because I just find that disappointing. Again, we talked about this before you joined us, Kristen. Is this just a case of we can't give the other side a win? Because this was a Republican-sponsored measure.
Could be. Probably.
But they got to knock that
off. I mean, you know, I feel like there's as much as I think there's more vindictiveness and than we always want to admit as far as just getting the short end of the stick and sometimes not always wanting to play nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as people talk about getting things done.
We're still petty people, aren't we?
Not all of us, but some of us, yes.
Some of us are petty people. All right, moving on to the bad. Wow, huffing and puffing and shoving. Oh, my. Unbelievable stuff yesterday in Washington. Ousted GOP House Speaker Kevin McCarthy reportedly shoved Republican Representative Tim Burchett of Tennessee in the back while passing him in the Capitol, and Burchett is one of the eight who voted against or voted to oust Speaker McCarthy. So, Calvin, I believe we have a little clip. Burchett says he took a direct shot to the kidneys and to McCarthy with a reply.
It was a clean shot to the kidneys. You just don't expect a guy who was at one time three steps away from the White House to hit you with a sucker punch in the hallway.
No, I would not elbow. I would not hit him in a kidney. Run and hit the guy. I did not kidney punch him. I did not shoot anything like that.
You didn't shove him.
No.
Well, there is a reporter there from NPR who got the whole thing on tape, and she was talking to Burchett as McCarthy walked by with his security detail and allegedly, you know, elbowed him in the back. So Burchett lunged into this reporter, and then he went chasing after McCarthy, calling him a jerk and a chicken and all that stuff. We're on a sixth grade playground.
Talk about being petty.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is, why are we surprised at this? Didn't McCarthy and Gates almost get in a fist fight? McCarthy almost got in a fist fight with someone not that long ago.
I think it was Representative Swalwell.
Oh, you're right.
Who's a Democrat. Who's a Democrat. And then there was one more during a hearing between the UAW in a committee. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, a Republican from Oklahoma, called the president of the Teamsters, Sean O'Brien, a thug and threatened him to a fight. Let's take a listen to this.
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, no, stop it.
Is that your solution, every color?
No, sit down. Sit down. Okay.
That's Bernie Sanders is breaking this up. Bernie Sanders is going, you're a U.S. senator. Sit down. What's wrong with you?
And women are too emotional.
Yes.
I was gonna make that same point, but then I remember that there was a fight between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Bobo earlier this year, also on the House floor. So, like, I don't know if women always have a house a leg to stand on either when it comes to where our politics are these days.
It's just so. Mark Wayne Mullen was upset with O'Brien because apparently they've been verbally sparring back and forth on Twitter, and he's got a big mouth and blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, so he wanted to go out, you know, outside the walls of Congress and have a
settle it
like manly men. And then appeared on a right-wing podcast, Calvin, and mentioned this tactic when he is in a fight.
By the way, I'm not afraid of biting. I will bite.
Biting?
Bite 100%. Yeah, I'm in a fight. I'm going to bite. I'll do anything. I mean, I'm not above it. And I don't care where I bite, by the way. It just is going to be a bite.
I'm not even going to ask any further questions on that. I think that that basically speaks for itself.
Are we pulling hair, too?
One, how many fights has this guy been in? Two, how many times has he bit someone? Three, is he up to date in his shots? That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
It's like the way he confidently is like, I don't care. I will definitely bite. Yep. And I will definitely bite anywhere. It's like, wait, what?
I was saying to Jane that nothing deflates two men trying to be all manly than them having to not swear and be like, get your butt up. No, you get your butt up. Like, what are we, toddlers? Can't, what is this? What's going on here?
I mean, the next thing is be like, my dad can beat up your dad. Yeah. That's the next logical step in this kind of fighting rhetoric.
All right. When we come back, the good, the bad, and shouldn't there be a window here? You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier. In for Kristen Bry. She is here. You can see her on the stream if you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin on the board. You can always check in if you want to call or text at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Thank you, Greg Bach. All right, moving on from the good, the bad, we move on to, shouldn't there be a window here? Picture this, fellow travelers. October 4th, 2023, a plane is heading to the U.S. from London with only 11 crew and 9 passengers on board. It's a single-aisle aircraft, an Airbus 321. It can seat 170, but this small group belonged to some kind of tour company that has not yet been identified, so they're the only ones on board. These 11 These 11 crew members and 9 passengers. Everyone is seated in the middle of the cabin, just ahead of the exits over the wings. So the plane is climbing. They're at 13,000 feet, and one of the passengers mentions to a crew member, it seems a lot colder and noisier in here than it should be. So the crew member walks towards the back of the plane and notices a window seal flapping in the breeze on the left side of the cabin and walks over there and finds the window had slipped down. There's no window.
No.
They're climbing at 13,000 feet. The crew member said the noise was loud enough to damage your hearing. As the plane hit 14,000 feet, the pilots reduced speed and stopped the ascent. An engineer and co-pilot went back to take a look at the window, and they agreed that, yeah, we should probably turn around immediately. So after 36 total minutes of flying time, the plane landed safely back at the airport. The plane remained pressurized normally, but once they got on the ground and looked at it, they found a second window pane was missing, a third was dislodged, and a fourth appeared to be protruding slightly from its frame. They found one of the window panes shattered on the runway.
And how does that even happen?
Well, and this is the thing, you guys. They say the windows may have been damaged by high-power floodlights that had been used during a filming the day before the flight. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Floodlights damaged
windows? On a plane?
I didn't do well in science, so I really have to feel like I have to believe them.
I am not an airspace astrophysicist person whatsoever. Yeah. No.
Me neither. But just the fact.
Did not go to the air show this year. We talked to one person there, but learned very little about planes from that one conversation.
Is there someone here who could tell me how light can damage glass? Anyone?
I just can't even imagine, though, how terrifying that must have been.
How many people were on the plane?
There were 11 crew members and 9 passengers. So it's a really small group on a plane that seats 170 people, but they're all in the middle. And can you imagine how cold it was? They're at 13,000 feet.
Can you imagine how? I mean, like the fact that they're not saying that, like, you know, one window fell out, the other one shattered, and also a man relieved himself on the floor of the plane because he was like, there's no sense of freak out from any of the passengers. I would have been. Terrified isn't the word, because you're beyond terrified at that point. You're like, oh, this is how I've seen this movie. We're going to get sucked out a window hole.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I had to
look. Well, it's so funny. Oh, go ahead.
I had to look up. So as their commercial aircraft typically hit their cruising altitude in the first 10 minutes of a flight, as they're climbing, they're going at about 280 miles an hour as you're climbing to your cruising altitude. That's up to 10,000 feet, and then up to 345 miles an hour. So you're really clipping along as you're climbing. And the fact that they had to send an engineer and a co-pilot back there to say, "Yeah, we probably should turn back." Of course you have to turn back. You can't breathe after 20,000 feet.
Well, that's what I'm going to say, because it's one thing, it's very obvious when the door is open, right? That, like, oh, we're going to get sucked out of this thing. But had it been, like, just one window, would they have been like, oh, we can power through this? Is it the fact that, like, what is the threshold of broken windows on an airplane that you can actually be okay with versus the immediate, like, no, we're turning around, we got to go back?
I don't think, you can't continue on that, because most planes cruise, and again, if I'm wrong, please let me know, because I have no background in aerospace or aeronautics or anything, but don't most planes cruise at like 35,000 feet?
Yeah.
That seems to be pretty much the standard altitude.
They're usually about 5 to 7 miles up.
Right. And again, you can't breathe after 20,000 feet without
oxygen. Well, we just would have waited for someone to die then, Jane. There's pressure. Your marker.
Now you have me thinking, Kristen, about if you keep going higher, I bet somebody could get sucked out of that window.
I don't know. Those windows aren't very big. A baby could. You think you're getting sucked out of a window, Jane? I'm getting sucked out of a window?
I'm not saying.
I'm definitely not.
It wouldn't be.
I'll plug it if anything, and you're fine. You're safe.
It wouldn't be a comfortable exit.
It's fine. I've lived a good life.
Let's look at it like that.
Yeah. Kelvin put in the chat. He said the lights must have been super hot. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
These floodlights, they
melted the actual frame of the plane, or melted the windows themselves and warped them in some manner.
Well, if you're doing traveling for the holidays, I hope you have a wonderful...
Hold on, I'm canceling my flight to Atlanta next year.
Have a wonderful trip. Make sure you check that window shade.
It's so interesting because in reality, we know that flying is safer than driving, right? Like as far as accidents that happen. But there's still something when you hear these stories, and I think it's just because it's so unnatural to be 7 miles in the air and doing this thing that 100 years ago... we were basically just starting to figure out as far as like humans are not supposed to be in the sky that when we hear these stories, they're so much more terrifying than a car accident. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because it happens more rarely and car accidents happen all the time, but in reality, rationally, we should be more afraid of driving than flying. And yet we're not.
We're not.
Like these are freaky, freaky stories that make you do what Greg just did. It's like, do I want to fly?
Yeah. Can I get my points back, please?
Well, we're just about out of time. You have all kinds of things. What's your first thing on your to-do list for today?
The first thing on my to-do list is a bunch of finance stuff, like credit card cleanup and some swapping of bills and closing of things and stuff that is just, you know, it's one of those things that just sits on the to-do list forever because you don't want to do it. But once you actually do it, you're like, well, that did not take that long. Why did it take me so long to do this?
Procrastination.
It's a powerful thing.
It absolutely is. Well, it's so good to see you. Give the baby a squeeze from us. We will see you next Wednesday at 10:33 and enjoy your day and try not to freak out with the baby at the nanny's.
I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. All right, we'll see you soon. Stay with us when we come back. Anastasia Esther will be with us. We're going to talk about yesterday's March for Israel in Washington. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Bases the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. Never. Well, I've never been on.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been on like dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We gotta
do it. And I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the... He was in the, like, really...
Northern Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at